For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday afternoon, June the 27th, 1979. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and Conference Grounds Summer Camp Meeting being held in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Win Worley is the speaker of the afternoon, speaking on soul ties.
The house of hell prevail, and the demons come past me about, and they tell me that God is against me, that he will not help me out. God in heaven will answer and save me, and the armies of heaven will battle, while the angels of darkness shall flee at the light of his majesty. Oh, the Lord is my light, oh, whom shall I fear? For the Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? For I'm free, free, free. Yes, I'm free, free, free. Oh, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. For Jesus has set me free.
What's your business, my mother?
I went to visit heaven in a dream. And the great heavens opened as the clouds sailed inside. The angels hovered o'er me and took me by the hand. And on a white cloud I went to visit heaven's land. I stood beside a wall so great and so high. There were 12 gates of pearl, all swinging open wide. As I looked upon that city and gazed beyond the shining sea, there were 10,000 angels gathering to sing. They knelt down on the balcony of heaven, dressed in robes as bright as the sun. And the angels sang their song to the King upon the throne. What a glorious sight to behold. It all seemed so real, though I was dreaming. But it all shall come true someday, when we gather round the throne and help the angels sing their song. Then it won't be just a visit, we'll be home to stay. Lonely days and lonely nights, filled with despair, cause me to long for someone. I heard Christ say to me, this promise I've made, though I am with thee, I'll never forsake thee, be not afraid, I'll never be lonely again, never again. I have opened my heart's door to Him. So I'll brush away my tears. I'll forget those foolish fears. I'll never be lonely again. Ever again. Are you longing for a friend, faithful and true? Come to my Savior. He waits for you. He will do the same for you as He did for me. He'll never leave thee, never forsake thee. Trust Him and see. I'll never be lonely again. Never again. Since I have opened my heart's door to Him. So I'll brush away my tears. I'll forget those foolish fears. I'll never be lonely again. Never again. I cried, I've gone too far. He said, my blood's gone farther. I cried the space too deep. He said, my blood's gone deeper. I cried, I've done too much. He said, my blood's done more. Praise God, praise God for His cleansing blood. Where would I be if it had for Jesus? Where would I be if it had not been for Him? I was the toy of the Maker of sin. I'm glad Christ changed all that might have been. I cried, I've gone too far. He said, my blood's gone farther. I cried the stain too deep. He said, my blood's gone deeper. I cried, I've done too much. He said, my blood's done more. Praise God for His cleansing blood.
Sing it one more time and really ring it out. Now, you've heard it a couple of times, just the chorus. Come on, I cried, I've gone too far.
I cried, I've gone too far. He said, my blood's gone farther. I cried, the stain's too deep. He said, my blood's gone deeper. I cried, I've done too much. He said, my blood's done more. Praise God for His cleansing blood.
I want us to think today about the subject of soul ties. Now, have been in deliverance for a long time, and it was only a few months ago that we became aware of the area of soul ties. because of the deliverance work of some people in California. So we thank the Lord for the interchange of information. And since we received this information, we've been digging further, and we immediately tried it out, put it into practice, and it works, and it breaks the enemy's barriers. There is such a thing as a tie between the souls of people. And soul ties can act much as do curses in keeping people from becoming free of demonic powers. And you say, well, where did you ever dig up a thing like that? Well, there's a number of references. I'm going to mention three that will give you the background of the idea of a soul tie. In 1 Samuel 18, chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. Let's take a look at the mention of a soul tie. 1 Samuel chapter 18, it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more to the home of his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, gave it to David, his garment, even to his sword, his bow, and to his girdle. David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. Saul sent him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now notice the significant thing is that before David and Jonathan made a covenant one with the other, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. There was a soul tie established between these two men. Now soul ties can be good and they can be bad. The bad ones are bondage. The good ones are strengthening and edifying. And you would expect that if God had a good thing in a soul tie, that the devil would immediately counterfeit it with something evil, and that's exactly what he's done. And we're going to be concerned primarily with the bad ones today, but I will point out there are good soul ties. This soul tie is a good one. The word knit, if you look up the word that is translated knit, both here and over in Colossians 2:2, where it says that there are Christians that have their hearts knit together in love. In Colossians 2:19, talks about Christ, from whom the whole body joined together, fitly joined together, and built up in love. The joined together is, again, the word knit. And the word knit means to unite by association of sections compacted, if you want to be technical about it, to cause, to collect mutuality, branches to branches and to vine, mutuality of love and fellowship. And so we're talking about an extremely close tie that can come about between people. And we have run across soul ties to Lucifer even. And there can be, in the case of witchcraft and submission to witchcraft and things of this sort, just recently, we ran across a soul tie that ran straight to Lucifer. It didn't run to a human being. So this is a whole new area and to us, and we're just exploring it, but it is producing unbelievable results in freeing people who previously had not been able to be freed in certain areas of their life. And so I want to pass this information on to you, that you who are in deliverance might be aware of it and begin to use it. It is a valid and a very helpful bit of truth in the deliverance fight that's going on. And every bit of truth that you discover needs to be passed on to other workers who are in the field, to be checked, to be cross-checked, to be scripturally undergirded. Many times, others will come up with a scriptural foundation for a truth that you've discovered in the battlefield. I don't have any patience particularly with theological theories up on cloud nine. There's not too many people have a stepladder to get up that high. So even if it was true, nobody could get up there and enjoy it. I like the things that are right down here in the nitty-gritty where we're living, and that will actually work and produce results and get people free and get them close to the Lord Jesus, get them on a functioning basis so they can walk in the power of the Spirit of God. And by the way, if you have any information like this about deliverance, you discover any scriptures or any insights or in actual deliverance work, if you run across new bits of information, I would always be glad for you to send it to me at Box 626, Lansing, Illinois, 60438. And we'll put it in the hopper, toss it around, check it out. We'll throw it on the laboratory on the floor of the church if it works. We'll begin to do an in-depth study and dig up more scriptures to buttress it and to garrison it and get it all ready and print it up and shoot it out to deliverance workers all across the country that we know about. Because every bit of information we can get against the enemy will help to destroy him. I mentioned earlier I'm planning to go to California to have a conference in which I'm hoping to get some keys to breaking mind control, which is the controlling echelon of witchcraft. It also controls the Illuminati. If we can break the witchcraft and the Illuminati control from the top downward, we'll be in a position to really destroy the works of the devil. And you better pray for the protection of the man who has the information and me, because I'm going after it. And the demons have tried repeatedly to keep me away from people who had information that needed to be disseminated. I know the information is written down because demons have revealed this in the past. Early in the game, when I began to deal with demons, they told me that there were many things that I was looking for, trying to find the answers to, that were written down, but that they had the books well hidden, that I would never find them. I said, well, where are they? I couldn't get them anyway. He said, Winworthy, you would cross the ocean to get to it, and you know it. No way. Well, I'll let you know where it is. But I think God is going to reveal the hiding place of some of this information. So just pray. Because the more information, the devil fears information. He fears informed Christians. He fears believers armed with the authority of the Word of God and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. He fears those who are clothed with the badge of the blood of Jesus Christ. For the blood is the thing that destroys him over and over again. Now back to soul ties. There are soul ties established with close relationships of all kinds. And they're not necessarily bad things. They can be very edifying. And the church is supposed to be knit together in love. Well, that's a good soul tie, isn't it? Knit together in love. And certainly the soul tie between Jonathan and David was not an evil thing. It was a strengthening thing for both those men. Now, there is a soul tie formed between a child and a parent. There are soul ties formed between husband and wife. Any sexual partner that you have a soul tie with them. Sex establishes an extremely close soul tie. And if it's an evil soul tie, it needs to be renounced and broken in Jesus' name. Before the end of this session, I'm going to show you how to do that. Strangely enough, wouldn't you believe that there are religious soul ties? And everyone who is connected with any kind of occultic religion has soul ties to those people in those things. We have come across recently, people have been flowing into us from various cults that have been saved and they're being set free from the bonds. And one of the things they have to do is sever all the soul ties between the leaders and all the people in those cults. We got this information about soul ties. I passed it on to some workers in southern Indiana. And within a week, I had a phone call and they said, praise God for the soul tie information. We've been working with this lady and working with her and we couldn't get her free and couldn't get her free. And then we were, after we got the information about soul ties, the next time we met, she came again for prayer. The demons manifested, and we came and broke soul ties. It turned out she had been in a religious group where they joined hands, and they let their souls flow out to other people. And she had soul ties with every member of that cult, and they had to go and deliberately break every one of those soul ties. When they did, she came free, and the demons left. And over again, this has been repeated across the country, where the soul tie information has been released. People have been set free of demons that formerly had resisted every effort to dislodge them. So this is a very valid area. Religious soul ties. Any relationship that brings about an interplay of your mind, will, and emotion with another person will develop a very tangible and an intangible soul tie. And that soul tie will remain in place many times after you, long after you've even forgotten about it. It may be back in the past somewhere. And when we're coming against soul ties, if we are not sure whether this is an evil thing or not, we'll just say, Lord, we want to break any ungodly soul tie that may be here between husband and wife, between parent and child. Because we don't know. Some of the soul ties are strengthening, and God's not going to break up that which is strengthening and edifying to His children. But you're on safe grounds when you specify we are breaking any ungodly soul tie between this person. If there exists an ungodly one, we're going to cut it in Jesus' name and by the power of His resurrection. Now, psychic bonds and involvement in the occult, of course, establish tremendously strong soul ties. And this is one of the things that gives the occult such a tremendous hold. Because the psychic bonds are tying those people together. Soul bonds are created by one soul submitting to another in the bondage. And if you submit yourself to another person who's in bondage, then you're double bound. The soul tie becomes an extremely strong thing. Now, this soul tie, if you come into this, there are case after case history of people in occult and psychic involvements where they submitted to hypnosis, they submitted to other kinds of witchcraft and all this kind, and they deliberately submitted themselves to some psychic leader. And that, because that psychic leader was energized and controlled by psychic powers and themselves was in a terrible bondage, when they submitted to this, the soul tie was an extremely evil thing and a thing of great bondage to this person. So be careful to whom you submit. There's nothing wrong with submitting to authority. Just be sure your authority is the Lord Jesus Christ. And be sure the person you're submitting to is not in a horrible bondage, because all they can do is give you what they've got. If they have bondage, you'll get that. Only it'll be compounded if it becomes through a soul tie. A soul tie acts just like an umbilical cord tying you into your mind. And it can affect you across the continent. There have been cases where people who had psychic bonds with somebody across the country, that person could feed things to them across the continent even. They'd even moved and relocated trying to get away and break the bondage. Distance has no effect on spiritual matters. I mean, prayer doesn't know anything about mileage, does it? You don't pay mileage charges on prayer, do you? Not like Ma Bell, you know, so many miles, oh, every mile you pay. But when it's prayer, it'll work. If you're sitting right in front of the person, it'll work over in California. And it works just as fast. There's no time or space bondage. Now, soul ties can be extremely dangerous and can result in severe emotional damage to the person. It depends on the depth of that tie and the nature of it. David wrote in Psalm 41:4, "Heal my soul." He wouldn't have needed it healed if it hadn't been injured. Now remember that every occult involvement, every involvement with any kind of a religious cult, will affect your mind, your will, and your emotion, and will damage or imprison your soul. And it will put you in a degree of bondage. Some people are greatly bound, others are slightly bound, and others somewhere in between. But believers need to be free, free, free of all bondage. We need to be bound only as love slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And anything that hinders us from being that way is a hindrance to our spiritual growth and progress. It should be regarded as an enemy. Now, in the occult, you are seduced into passivity. If you have not read Jesse Penn Lewis's classic book, well, it's really Evan Roberts' book. It came out of the Welsh Revival called War on the Saints. It's a very difficult book to read. The devil will fight you a great deal reading it. But it is a classic, and you cannot read it too much. And it explores religious passivity, which is one of the strongest areas in which the devil is working today. Passivity is a dangerous, dangerous thing. Do not become passive. God never expects it. He doesn't desire it. Our God wants your active cooperation with Him. Even when the Scripture says, "Be still and know that I am God," it doesn't mean become a glob. It means wait expectantly. Quiet in your spirit, but waiting expectantly for the Lord. a lot of religious things that are going on are engendering and creating passivity in people, and then whoppo, they get hit with a religious demon. In the occult, in all of the occult, in all of the religious cult systems, the cultic systems of whatever nature they are, every one of them makes strict requirements that you blank your mind, that you become totally passive, that you receive without question anything that comes from the top. Supposedly the top is right. Well, that's great if the top happens to be God, but it's most of the time, well, any time it's preaching that kind of stuff, the top is not God. Because God has never encouraged nor taught passivity in His people. He wants active cooperation with Him. When you speak in tongues, you're not supposed, or when you go to receive the baptism, it amazes me sometimes that people ever receive tongues in some places. Do you know that? Holy Spirit's represented as a dove. He's a very skittish bird. He won't land where there's any noise. And you need a place that's nice and still and quiet if the dove is going to make his landing. Some places I've been, I'll tell you, I marvel at the power of God. How He could baptize somebody in the Holy Spirit in the middle of that hubbub, I couldn't imagine. He did it in spite of what was going on instead of because of it, I think. You know what I'm talking about? Hold on, let go, scream out, be quiet. Coming at them from every direction. Nothing but disorganized confusion. You're welcome. No. God works with active cooperation. For example, you don't passively receive the Holy Spirit to be baptized into Him. No way. You actively wait expectantly for Him. And even then, He doesn't override you. He uses your breath, your tongue, and you decide to speak. That's your part. He gives you the word, uses your breath, your tongue, but you decide to start and stop. I get scared about these people. I couldn't stop speaking in tongues. I've thrown that kind out of some people. My Bible said, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Yes, you could. Either you're lying or you got a wrong kind. You can shut it off. You just didn't want to. If you got the real thing. Well, I felt the Spirit. So did the Corinthians. And boy, Paul whacked them across the knuckles. Naughty, naughty. Of course you can control it. Don't blame God for what you're doing. That's our part. We're not passive. We're active cooperation with God. Soul ties come about very readily and very strongly through passivity. Everything, witchcraft, Satan worship, the occult, any kind of wicked things and even religious things called Christian will teach passivity, because passivity is the field in which you can sow any kind of wild seed you want and it'll sprout. And of course, if it's supernatural, anybody knows it's from God. You'd be surprised how many people in the average church think that. That if something's supernatural, it'd be God. Why, if the devil walked in here, dressed up looking real nice and religious, and he said, in the name of the Lord, let the fire fall. And three big balls of fire fell down here, rolled on the carpet and didn't burn anything up. Half the people would fall on their face and say, the Lord, He is God. But he didn't specify which Lord, did he? Did you know the devil can do things like that? Did you know he's doing it? The most fertile field of endeavor is the church of Jesus Christ. Because there is so little discernment of spirit in the average church, the devil and his crowd are running most everything that's happening. I didn't say he has most of the people in the sense that they belong to Jesus. They're just eager little sheep going bat, 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 bat. It's even sprinkled with Bible verses. That makes it all right, doesn't it? Unless you remember that the devil knows a great deal more about Scripture than you do. Oh, we've got to be on our guard. We've got to get our red lights flashing. We've got to check and cross-check what God is saying. Don't be seduced into passivity. Because when you do, the will be bound by Satan as soon as that happens. First thing he does, he binds your will to operate. There are times when we have to attack and try to bind up the spirits that keep that person from being able to will, to want, to be free. They're so deeply bound and pushed down that well of bondage. Now this kind of bondage results in much of the physical and mental illness that are plaguing our land today. This is where much of it is rooted, is in evil soul ties that are binding the people. And these are very much at work in present day movements of the Lord. Did you know that? Whenever God builds a house of prayer, the devil always builds a chapel there. It will be found upon examination, the latter has the largest congregation. That's sadly true. And the reason for that is because people have not been taught to be on their guard, to check everything by the Word of God, and to regard the check in their own spirit. Did you know that when you got born again, God put a wonderful trigger in your mechanism called a check in the spirit? That means that sometimes you hear some fellow speak or some lady hold forth on something, and all the words sound right. It seems to be sweet. It seems to be lovely. It seems to be scriptural. But inside, there's something in you that goes ding, ding, ding. Watch it, watch it, watch it. And you can't figure out what's the matter. It'll work in the secular field, too. You'll go in and deal with somebody, and what they say seems to be right. But somehow, inside of you, there's some indefinable something that says, watch it, watch it, watch it, watch it. God's warning you. Sure enough, you find out they're a crook. Huh? Sure enough, you find out you've been dealing with a religious racketeer. Watch out for that check in your spirit and let God develop that sensitivity. You say, well, I don't want to be a nervous Nelly. Well, I'd rather be that than a dumb Dora that got caught in everything that happened. We've got to learn that God has built in safeguards for His people. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit, direct prayer, and also that wonderful thing called our spirit, that check in our spirit, which can warn us to at least check something out, to take it easy, watch it, watch it, watch it. Something's not quite right. Now, there are soul-binding forces at work operating openly in many of the present-day Christian movements. Now, I don't say that to try to make you suspicious or critical, but only to make you aware that the devil is working. Wherever God is working, the devil moves in right alongside. He's working at this camp. He has from the beginning. All that means is that God's working. And this would be true anywhere you go where God is moving. You can expect the devil to move alongside and try to do something as well. Now let me give you some things to be warned about. Beware of those who call for your will and your mind to be brought into total submission to them or to some group that they're working with. Beware of them. They'll take care of that. Don't worry about it. Beware of those who call for the minds and wills of the people to be brought into total submission to them or to some group. Beware. If you submit to this type of thing, you're laying yourself wide open to an extremely powerful and hurtful soul tie. God does not call for this kind of thing. That's a soulish appeal. Now, those who teach absolute authority such as this and submission will only produce bondage and robots who cannot think for themselves. By the way, all who resist this kind of teaching or question it in the group will be branded as rebellious and stubborn. So, I mean, if you are in a group like that, this will be your name tag. Because you will not submit totally your mind and your will. Well, there are people who call for you to submit sight unseen to whatever they're going to tell you to do. It's incredible. And the most incredible part is that a lot of people do it. Beware of those who seek to control the private lives of the people. Let me repeat that. Beware of those who seek to control all the details of the private lives of the people. The good shepherd leads, he never drives. And he leads primarily by example, and his main
force of authority comes from the trust that the people have in Him and in the love that He has for them. If they trust Him and believe that He loves them, then they will go to Him for counsel, believing He would not do anything knowingly to hurt them. But over and over in some of these groups, you're going to find these who are working through soul ties and mind control, who are exercising cruel pressure. You must submit. Your private life is something you need to work out with God. Did you know that? Counsel you may need. Dictation you will not. You will never grow up until you learn to make many decisions for yourself. When you're a young Christian, you will need a great deal of counsel and advice from the side because you have not had time enough to absorb Scripture. You've not had experience enough to season, perhaps, in the way the things that the Lord would have you to do. And you'll need advice and counsel from those who have been walking the way. But if that person is a leader led of God, they will not bind you to a course of action. They will rather discuss with you the pros and cons of it. If it is forbidden in Scripture, they will tell you this is what the Scripture says, so there's nothing to argue about. It's over. That's it. But if it's a course which you may decide this or this or this, they will, the best they know how, discuss each thing with you and tell you, if I were you, this is what I think is wise. Then they will tell you, now you go and pray and see what God says to you. Be careful, even when you're working in counseling. In counseling, so often, the emphasis shifts to the counselor. How wise he is. How wonderful she is. I can get all my answers. Well, what are you going to do when he or she's out of town? The wise counselor will shift over and teach you how to find answers from the Lord and from the Word as rapidly as possible. He'll get that umbilical cord clipped and get you on the bottle, and from there get you to the place and encourage you to feed yourself. This will avoid the harmful soul ties that are existing in so many places. Beware of those who teach that the leader alone can hear the voice of God. You want that repeated? Beware of those who teach that the leader alone can hear the voice of God. It is true that if a person is a God-called leader, they will hear the voice of God loud and clear, and they will often have much information other people don't have, simply because God is leading through them. But if you are tied down with the bondage of the idea that only the leader under all circumstances is able to hear, what are you going to do with my sheep hear my voice? What are you going to do when the devil subverts the leader? It happens, you know. Leaders are prime targets for the enemy. And if he subverts the leader, unless the sheep are free to hear the voice to correct the situation, you see what will happen? It simplifies the devil's work considerably if all he has to do is knock the leaders off. But if he's got a bunch of intelligent sheep who, though they follow a leader, if the leader seems to be going the wrong way and it's not like the Bible, they begin to say, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Lord, what's happening? And they begin to go directly to the source. What a mess the devil's got on his hands then. Then he's got to fight the sheep, because then the first thing they will do, if they believe their leader is being led astray and they believe he's the man of God, what will they do? They'll begin to pray for him. And God can pressure him back into the way or take him out if he's not going to move. You see how, isn't God's plan better? God-called leadership will teach the sheep carefully to distinguish between the voice of God and the voice of the enemy. They will teach them to cling to the Word of God as the supreme authority above every man, above every word that's said or spoken by man. For the written Word, we know we don't have to worry about whether it's right or wrong. The spoken Word that comes forth may be of the Lord or may not be. It may be practically all the Lord and a little bit of error. It may be mostly error and not much of the Lord. Maybe religious garbage. But it can be weighed and considered in the light of the Word of God. See what a mess the devil's got on his hands when you got some intelligent sheep that are not rebellious sheep. They are only intelligent sheep who check the Word of God. I would hate to lead a bunch of a flock that's full of mindless robots, wouldn't you? You know, the punch button church. Punch the button, everybody says, whee! Punch the button, everybody sits down, whee! Punch the button, everybody runs around the church. You know, wouldn't that be silly? God's people never have all been like before. There's always been a few who had too much and not, some didn't have enough. Hadn't they? And all shades in between. We're all becoming. We're not there yet. We're on the way. Alright. Now, they must be taught to follow the Lord, hear the voice of God, follow the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. Now those who teach this doctrine of absolute submission have the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, Revelation 2:15, which Jesus said, I hate. Didn't say he hated the people, he hated the doctrine they held. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans, the Nicolaitan means ruler of the people. And that's what you've got moving in the guise of holiness in many places today. This doctrine subdues the minds and wills of people into passivity, opening a door for a spirit of deception to take place and lock in. They want the minds and wills of the people to be like putty so they can be shaped. God doesn't want that. He wants His people to develop and to lovingly follow those He sets in authority over them. But the authority of God's leaders is mainly vested in the fact that they love the most and they serve the hardest. The spectacle we have today is something else. Of leaders who are being carried around on pillows. I go into places, speak all across the country, and I become aware of what prima donnas some of these preachers must be. I mean, the attitude that people come to me with, dear, sweet Christian lay people, they are so anxious, is everything all right? And here they have put me in a lovely place that you couldn't ask for anything more. Maybe not luxurious, maybe plain, but quite adequate. I mean, a sleeping bag on the floor would be adequate. God didn't say you were going to sleep on a king-size bed and air conditioning everywhere you went, did He? I mean, to me, I just leave that up to the Lord. Whatever comes, that's fine. Now, but I know from the attitude of the people, there must have had some prima donnas through. Because the people are so nervous for fear it won't suit me. And I'll be angry. Well, I didn't go there to be angry with anybody but the devil. I really get on the high horse with him sometimes. But, and I just look in amazement and listen in amazement. And I think, Lord have mercy, what have we got running around? And I come across the trail of some of these great ones. Thank God I'm not great. But that's what it takes. You wouldn't believe some of the things they've done. Some of the stunts they've pulled. Some of the requirements they've made of these good people. I think, my, my, my. Those are the kind of people who build soul ties. They've gone about making a name for themselves. Jesus said the greatest among you will be the one who serves the most, is the servant of all. The one who loves the most and serves the hardest is the greatest. And you measure that up against the next one you run across that's supposed to be great. Huh? By the way, if you have ambitions to be great, I just gave you the formula. Work your toenails off. Doing what God, what nobody else wants to do. And I have a field that I could suggest. It's not crowded. The deliverance field will offer you plenty of hard work, an opportunity to pour out love without measure. And you'll get very little remuneration as far as the world's concerned. You'll get a lot of hard knocks out of it. But you'll also get the approval of Jesus Christ, because He's the one that ordered it done. Said, well, well done, child. At least one of my young ones is listening when I talk. Told them what to say. Well, the spirit of deception comes through in these open doors of absolute submission. If a teaching implies that the head of a man is another man, you're on the road to deception. My Bible said the head of the man is what? Christ. And if it teaches or implies, some people are smart enough not to teach it because they know somebody's liable to know enough Bible to hang them on that. But they imply it, and they teach it roundabout, that the head of a man is another man. And you're on the road to deception. Now, it'll be a gradual process. It won't happen quickly. If it happened quickly, you'd be scared off. They tell me you can take a frog and put him in a pan of water, cold water, and put it on the stove, and turn the heat on. And he'll sit there. And the water will just gradually get hot. And that frog will cook before he realizes the water's getting hot. Hello, frog. Be sure the devil doesn't make you a frog sitting in a pan. We need not to be rebellious, not to be lone rangers. We need to be under the counsel and the authority of others who are wiser in the ways of the Lord, or whom the Lord has given special help for us to receive. We don't need to be rebellious. We don't need to be stubborn. But on the other ways, we don't need to be the gullible ones that just swallow everything that comes along. That's from the Lord. Because when we do, we're establishing a soul tie, and that thing, because it's invisible and because it's intangible, will have extremely powerful and hurtful results in our lives to bind us away from the Lord. It's just another deception of the devil. Now, you can have soul ties, and of course, I'm spending all my time on the bad ones, so you might get the idea. I don't want to have anything to do with soul ties. Forget it. Yuck. But there are good ones, and it's fine to cultivate soul ties with people who are genuinely walking with the Lord. That is an edifying type thing. Just don't let it become a bondage. All right. Don't get hooked on this gradual process of emphasizing God's delegated authority of men over men till it's increased to the point that it produces guilt and drives to obedience. Now, the devil always drives and harasses. God, working through the Word and the Holy Spirit, always gently leads and encourages. And if you'll watch, the devil is always pushing. God is always saying, come on, come on. There's a difference. Watch out when you feel driven to do this. Chances are it's not coming from the Lord. There might be an exception or two, but they're very few. Most of the time, God gently leads. He also gives you time to reason things out. It's God who has the Holy Spirit right. Come now and let us reason together. God is a God of reason. You can sit down and reason things out. Some people say, oh, I don't want to talk about it. You just got to do it. Wait a minute. Unless I'm already convinced I should do it, I ain't going to. And he just fixed it so I'm not about to. Now all my hackles are up. All my defenses just rose when he said, you got to do it. Don't think about it. Just do it. Ooh. Because I've seen too much havoc in Christians' lives because they were stampeded into doing something without thinking about it. And if they had sat down and thought about it, reasoned it out with the Scripture, they'd have never done it. It's right for believers to have time to reason things out. To learn to think. It takes longer for some folks to think than others. Their brain wheels are rusty. They move slower. But that's all right. God has patience, so we ought to too, huh? We should do all we can to encourage one another. Wrong soul ties will invariably bring about deception and seduction. Don't be the frog in the pan of water. Amen? Now, there are many kinds of soul ties. I have a renunciation I picked up. It isn't original as me, but it works very well. And I'm going to read it off with you, just a group thing we can do together. It may not break every soul tie you have, but it'll sure sweep the cobwebs out. It won't hurt you, that's for sure. All right? So if you'd like to take charge of some of these soul ties and exercise your authority as a believer, then we'll break some of these soul ties that are over you. I repeat, there may be still remaining some after this that need to be broken, but now that you're aware of it, then God can begin to speak to you about it. That's one of the good things about getting information out. Amen? Then people begin to think, they begin to pray, and God begins to point out where they need. If you want to take part, this won't hurt you, could help you a great deal. Repeat after me, please. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I choose to put off all of the old, all that is connected with the old creation. I put off any remaining soul ties with persons in the past, which would bind or hinder my Christian growth and walk. I come against any such soul ties now. And I reject them. And put them off. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my victory. My sanctifier. Separating me unto the body of Christ. Unto liberty. Unto freedom. Praise the name of Jesus. I declare every evil soul tie to be broken. I renounce each one. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I declare any such bondage to be over. Because I am cleansed by the shed blood of Jesus. And born again. And his resurrection victory over the grave. Gives me power and authority. Over all such things. Satan, I declare myself to be loose from you and your demons. I declare myself to be bound only unto the liberated body of Christ, to be knit together in love in the glorious liberty of the children of God. I praise you, dear Lord, for you are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You break every fetter. You let the oppressed go free. And open the prison house of the captive. Hallelujah. Now legally, you have severed a great many things, swept out a lot of cobwebs. As I said earlier, there may be other stronger specific ties that did not yield to a general sweeping. Now that you know about it, you can do that. By the way, if you have a divorce in your background, you do have a soul tie with that former partner, which can be very strong and hinder deliverance. And I would encourage you to break that as soon as possible. You as a believer have the authority to do this, or another believer can do it for you. But I would encourage you to break soul ties as you are reminded of them. Now we're here this afternoon, and I'm sure there are those who've come needing ministry. If you are driven, harassed, tormented by things that you can't seem to handle, it produces compulsive behavior, then in the name of Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to seek what He told His church to do. Those who believe in My name shall they cast out devils. And so if you have a need today, by all means, come and seek prayer. I'm here. I have some workers from my church, and there are other workers here at the camp who are capable, trained deliverance workers who can help you. You say, well, I don't know if they can help me or not. Well, it won't hurt to try. If they get stuck, they can always ask somebody else. If I get stuck, I ask somebody else. You say, you get stuck? Oh, very often. A lot of times some of the babies in my church come along and untangle something that I get stuck on. You'd be surprised how God works. He doesn't work through just one person. He works through a lot. One person may be the acknowledged leader in something, but there are still things that God's going to use the babies for. And if you're a baby, I'd encourage you not to be hanging back. You just get in the battle, and it'll be surprising what God will do with you. Because these things will operate through sovereign gifts anyway, and you need to exercise those things. Amen? So if you need help, by all means, come. Workers, you come on up as soon as we come, please, so we'll have get the people started praying right away. Let's stand and sing something about that name. And you have a need, you come.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.